I want to talk to you about some mothers in the Bible.
And but before I get there, I've seen examples of great mothers. And I've seen what mothers can do that men aren't designed to do. In all the craziness of the world, that he's a she and they're a them and they're a it and they're a who. I mean, that's... The Bible just says he created male and female. He called them mother and father. You know, I don't mean to be disrespectful or anything like that, but that's the reality of things, right? But the enemy has so screwed things up, right, that we don't even have the same, you know, definitions anymore. But here's another thing. I was thinking about this. You know, one person that I listened to, she was talking about the inner city and the problem with inner city kids, that the father was out of the home. And that's true. There are many kids who grow up with fatherless, you know, fatherless. They just don't have that example. They don't have that, you know, to look at. But then I thought, you know, back in the 50s it started, then into the 60s and into the 70s, we took mothers out of the home. Right? Mothers went to work. And today you can't hardly make it unless both are working, and you know, it's a real sacrifice because both mother. But we actually didn't just take the fathers out of the home. We took the mothers out of the home. And my greatest influence in my life, I love my dad and he was awesome, but my mom had the most influence on my life that ever was. I call her St. Iris. Right? That was her name. I wouldn't call that to her face because I'd probably get hit. But mom was a special person. And even to this day, she died in 1997. So that was a few years ago. But even to this day, I miss the ability to call her up and talk to her. One of my impressions that's in my head with my own mom was sitting at the lake, and some of you have been out at the lake, but at our lake property that we own together, it has a dining room table in the kitchen. And in that, I'd wake up in the morning, if I was staying out there, I'd wake up in the morning and I'd walk out there. Mom would be sitting there with her cup of coffee, looking out or reading or do whatever. But some of the most precious times that I can think with her is waking up early in the morning, going out there, just me and her talking. See, that was kind of rare because I, again, come from a family with 12 children. So private mom time was not it. But it didn't matter how old I got. Whether I was in my 20s, 30s, 40s, you know. When I needed mom, I could just call her. And there was nobody on the planet like her, you know. And it's just amazing that the number one purpose for a woman... Now, listen, again, people are going to get mad at me. It's okay. But you were created to nurture children, and it's the most important job that you have, period. Period, end of story. It's not less than... You know, you hear people almost apologize for it. I'm a stay-at-home mom. Oh, that's so sad. No. It's the greatest thing in the world, right? And again, I'm not detracting from people who have to work, and I applaud people who go, and single mothers who do it all. That's amazing. But I think our society as a whole, as we've lost the value, because we forced our economy to have two incomes. We forced things to happen, but moms, you're so important. And never apologize for the job you do. And you may do it different than my mom did it, or the way Renita does it, or the way Donnie does it, but moms have your back like nobody else. Right? The Bible talks about messing with mother's children. It's like getting between a mama bear and her cubs, right? I'll be all sweet on you and all that, and you can be in my house and all that will be fine. But if you mess with my kids, there's something special about mom, right? And I want to talk to you about and see if we can relate a few things. Obviously, we won't be able to entirely, but I want to look at Mary, the mother of Jesus. She was an incredible woman, right? But most of you know this, but I'm just going to repeat it. Understand that when the angel came to her, we're going to look at it. Look at Luke chapter 1. Find Luke in your Bibles. But in Luke chapter 1, we're going to look at it. But understand that she was probably, when the angel came to her, was probably in the age range of 13 to 15 years old. She was not 25, she was not 30, she was not 40. She was a young teenage girl. Think about that for a minute. And think about what's going to happen. Now look at verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice highly, favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." Now you'd think she must have just walked around holy her whole life. And the church that I grew up in, it kind of venerated her to the point where she was almost not human, right? But I don't think that's the case at all. I think she was a girl that had all the same growing up tendencies and all of the things that little girls have. But when she turned in this age between 13 and 15, 16, somewhere in that range, the angel came and he said, "Blessed are you among women." There's no other woman, no other woman in the world that's as blessed as you. Never one that's been, and I believe there's never going to be one after. "Blessed are you among women." Can you imagine her response? It's not, "Oh yeah, I know it." It's like, I imagine it was, "Who me? Who me?" "Yeah, you. Yeah, you." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Again, huh? What are you talking about? Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. For behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." Hallelujah. See, the first step of a mother is to conceive. Right? It's such a miracle of life, and it's a miracle that we don't celebrate anymore. Do I need to separate you three? But watch this. Watch this. I'm sure there was a smart aleck comment, probably from Bonnie. But anyway, no, watch this. It's like the miracle of life starts in the womb. Can you imagine? I mean, there. And again, the whole deal with abortion, which I used to be kind of pro-abortion before I got saved and all of that, because I just figured, you know, it's an inconvenience. But now, the miracle of life. God said, "I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb." You know, there's a man and a woman who come together for that to happen, but it's God who puts life into that little egg when it's fertilized. So motherhood begins, watch this, at conception. Hallelujah. Verse 32 says, "And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." That sounds really good, doesn't it? But think about this 13, 14, 15-year-old girl going, "How do I do that? I'm supposed to raise the Son of God? The one that's supposed to..." That's a lot of pressure. Right? That's a lot. You know, it's kind of like when my son was born, I'm holding him in my hands and I'm looking at him in a love that I've never felt before. And I said, "God, you love me this much." But another thought was, and I felt like the Lord said, "That's a gift that I've given to you, but he doesn't belong to you. He belongs to me." And the next thought was, "Well, Lord, don't let me screw this up." Right? Don't let me mess this up. This was my son, who's very special, by the way, but it wasn't the Son of God. But Mary conceived him, but the power to raise him was in the Holy Spirit coming upon her. Right? Now, I can relate that too, because sometimes mothers go, "I don't know what to do." They didn't come with a manual. And what do I do now? They did this or they did that, or they're grown and they... Listen, the Holy Spirit's inside of you. Come on. If God planted a child inside of you, he's given you the power to raise that child. You are the prayer warrior for that child, and it doesn't matter how old they get, you're still the most important person in their life, whether they know it or not, whether they want to recognize it or not. You're the one that can stand over them, because you were there when it all started. Look at chapter 2. And verse 7. It said that she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. She brought forth her son. There's a whole teaching goes with that, but I'm not going to get into that. But she gave birth to her son. A mother giving birth is the most beautiful thing I can think of. It's amazing to me. The best gift that my wife ever gave me was my children. Right? And I was blessed to be there when both of them were born. I was there for the nurse to hand them to me. Right? But it was a gift that came from her body, from her effort, from her pain. But she birthed the Son of God. I've just got to say, Joseph was an incredible man, because he was not the biological father. God was the biological father, impregnated by the Holy Spirit, right? Glory to God. But Mary birthed this little baby. Now, unless I get it wrong, which, you know, I possibly could. I was wrong once when I thought I was wrong, but I wasn't wrong. But watch this. I could be wrong, but I think that little baby cried. I think that little baby had accidents. I think that little baby needed to be fed. I think that little baby needed to be held. all of the things that a mother does best. I loved my children, took care of my children from the time. In fact, on the way home from the hospital, Renita was, you know, she hadn't been around kids. And as you know, again, I was the third oldest of 12, so I'd been around a lot of babies. I babysat a lot of babies. Renita said, "I don't know what to do." I said, "No problem, I do. You know, I do. We got this. It's no problem." But here's this 13 to 15-year-old holding the Son of God. But he wasn't a baby that said, came out of the womb going, "Yes, and I'm the Son of God." Right? And you know, "I want to instruct you in the things of God. I want to, you know, right now, I'll tell you exactly what to do." No, no, this was a baby. So think of this mother and the thinking about, okay, God said that he was the Son of God, but he's still a little baby that needs my nurture, needs my care, needs, I mean, what an incredible thing to have hold of. And yet, watch this. Those babies that you've held, those children that you've raised or are raising, they're just as important to God as the Son of God. How can that be? I know that's true because he gave his only begotten Son to die so that the little baby that you birthed would have an opportunity to come back to God and be with him. Right? But again, the whole concept of Mary just, I go, whoa. Whoa. So Mary conceived the child and then she birthed the child. And then go to verse 25. Actually, I messed up there. Let's go to verse 21. So when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus. The name was given by the angel before the conceived in the womb. Now listen, Jesus was not an uncommon name. There are many Jesuses walking around. Yeshua, it was a common Hebrew name, right? But this one was different. The name means salvation. Joshua's name back in, you know, in the book of Joshua, because he was the Savior for Israel. He brought them into the promised land. There's so many things that could be said, but what I'm saying to you, they didn't go, "Oh, it's Jesus. Jesus is finally here." The people that were ministering at the temple just, "Oh, that's cute. You've named him Jesus." Right? But it was important to dedicate him, giving him that name. Hallelujah. Verse 22 says, "Now when her days for purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. For as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord." So she didn't just conceive him and then birth him, but she dedicated him. Right? Again, like I said, mothers, those babies that you're holding, and those, there's, you know, I love all babies, and but my kids and my grandkids, they're just different. You know, it's just different, right? And that's for purpose. But watch this. They don't belong to me. They belong to him. And there are many days I've said, "You can keep them," right? I mean, there have been times, right? There have been days. No, not really. But there are days when I don't know what to do. When it seems like I've raised them and they make decisions that I don't agree with it, imagine that, that I don't agree with, that I have to hand them back to the Lord and say, Lord, I dedicated them to you. Right? I thought my daughter was going to be this, or I thought my son was going to be this, or I thought they were going to do this. But Lord, that's between you and them, not between you and them and me. Are you with me? So when you give your children to the Lord, leave them there. Just a thought. Just a thought. Now I want you to go to Matthew chapter 2. So not only did she conceive the child, and then she birthed the child, and then she dedicated the child. Now this is the Son of God. Again, we're talking about. This is Jesus. This is the Holy One. This is one that was conceived by the Holy Spirit. But in Matthew chapter 2, verse 13, it says, "And now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph," this was after the wise men came, "saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother to flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt." So not only did she birth him and conceive him and dedicate him, but she protected him. She protected him. You say, well, Joseph was the one who was told. I know, but if Mary would have said no, you know, and objected, I don't want to leave town, whatever. It's like she had to go along with it. But the point is that our children, and I don't care how old they become, they still need our protection. You say, well, they're grown. How can I protect my 40-year-old son or my 50-year-old daughter? How can I protect them again? Our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. We can still protect them with our prayers. We can still plead the blood of Jesus over them. Right? Hallelujah. By the way, different subject, and I'll get back to this one, but Wednesday I had the privilege for the first time, I'm not telling that story, but for the first time of preaching in Germany. I did it over Zoom. And it was just so cool, the technology, because I was preaching over Zoom. The translator of the normally was at the church, was on a business meeting in a different city. So I was on Zoom, he was on Zoom, and we were both in church. It was awesome, but I preached on the blood of Jesus. Right? The blood of Jesus. So powerful. So powerful. But we have to protect our children. And there's so many things today that our kids need protection over. Right? And even, you might think I'm radical, but that's okay, I am. But when our kids were small, there were very few things that we let them watch. And we protected them from things because we wanted the Bible and what was in the Bible to be cocooned in their hearts. So were there some cartoons and stuff that seemed harmless, but if they had witchcraft in them, if they had, anything that diverted from what we felt was biblical Christianity, we didn't let them watch it. Why? We were protecting them. What if they didn't like it? Tough. It's not their job, and it's not a mother's job to have their children like them. It's a mother's job to have their children protected. Are you with me? So she protected her kids. Mary, the Son of God. And I love this part of the story. Go to John chapter 2, Gospel of John. See, because all of these things that we're talking about, I've seen in the women in my life. I saw my mom, how she took care of us. She protected us. And she didn't allow us to do certain things just because everybody else was doing them. And she didn't, you know, she held the line. And you know, she was amazing that way. And I've seen Renita give her life for her kids. She's not in here, and when I speak about her when she's not in here, I get in trouble most of the time. But listen, I saw that particular woman, the wife of my children. I saw her at times when most people would have given up and given in, hang on, because she didn't want to harm her children. There, and I'm just going to tell the story on her and. You can tell her I did, but there was a period of time where, because of her asthmatic condition, she was on heavy doses of prednisone. Now, everybody is affected different by prednisone, but it for her, she felt like, she said, I feel like something is inside of me trying to eat itself out. And it sent her emotions and her ability to function into a different place. And so we went to the pulmonologist, and her lung level, now listen to me, her lung level, when she went into that meter that I hate, that blow, 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 you know, that whatever that's called. And she'd blow in that thing, and she was at 12%. 12%. And she said, Doctor, I'm not taking prednisone anymore. He said, you have to. She said, I don't have to. I'm not taking it anymore. And she said, he said, you're at 12%. Do you understand that most of us are up here at 80 to 100%, right? And so we have all of this room to go down. You're at 12%. That's it. That's it, right? 12%. And she said, look, we're going to have to figure something else out because I'm not going to put my family through this anymore. See, it wasn't her life that she was concerned with. It was me, but mostly it was her kids. See, because a mother puts her kids' needs over her own. But in John chapter 2, and let's start in verse 1. It says, on the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding, and when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. Now, I just have to tell you, for the first 30 years of Jesus' life, there were no miracles. He had to be different than all the other kids because he was the Son of God. But in reality, he was just Joseph's son, Jesus. Right? In other words, he didn't stand out from the standpoint that, wow, and everybody was following him because he was the son. So he grew up, you know, he became a man. He did all of those things, right? But Mary knew. Because she pondered in her heart all the things that the angel had told her. But watch this, the mixed thing that's going on, because she watched him grow. She watched him from being a baby to a toddler to a teenager to a young person to a more mature person. She watched that growth and she saw him change. His voice changed. Just imagine Jesus when his voice changed. Wouldn't that be something? Again, a little side note. I have, it's one of the most precious things. My grandson, a few years ago, his voice changed, right? And it went from being the little kid's voice to the voice he has now. But if you call his phone and you pick up, you go to his answering machine. Hello, this is Liam. It's just so cute, you know, to watch that. But Jesus' voice changed, right? But Mary knew in her heart that this was the Son of God, that this was a special boy. She had several boys, but this was different. He was different, but yet he was the same, but yet she knew. Now watch this. This is, hey, Jesus, they have no wine. Listen to his response. Verse 4 said, woman, he didn't say that in a condoning way, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. She's about to release him. She's about to release him. I mean, the Holy Ghost came upon him and he went and was back, all of that. But this is the release date. Whew! His mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. And now there were set 6 water pots of stone according to the manner of purifications of the Jews, containing 20 to 30 gallons apiece. And Jesus said to them, honoring his mother. He did this as an honor to his mother. Fill the water pots with water. Don't you know that she knew that he was baptized, and when he came out of the water, he was filled with the Spirit of God as a sign for the beginning of his ministry? And she said, for 30 years, I've pondered this in my heart. I've known the potential the whole time. I've known what he was created to be the whole time. And now I'm releasing him into his ministry, into his potential. Let me just say this a little bit different. There's a time when mothers have to loose them and let them go. Release them. Right? Whew, Mary did this. And the rest of the story, he turned water into wine. It was awesome. But I just love the part that Mary said, you do this. And it was the first miracle. Because his mother released him. We need to release our kids. Moms, you need to release. But the importance of a mother, there's something about a mother releasing. Now go to chapter 19. I hope you all are getting something today. I love this when I was reading it. Hang on just a minute. I think I got the wrong... Oh, no, now I'm right. Okay. All right. Verse 25 of chapter 19, it says, Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, and the wife of Cleopas, Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple which whom he loved standing by her, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And he said to his disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. So his mother had to agonize at the pain of her son. Right? It's just part of the deal. It's part of the feel, right? It's part of, you know, but it didn't stop him, her from being mom. Come on. Now, real quickly, I want to just summarize with this and go to Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31. And if I say to you, Proverbs 31, most of you will go, "Yeah, the virtuous woman." And that's true. But I want to point out some things. Because I was doing a seminar, you've heard me say this before, but I was doing a seminar on marriage and I'd been hammering the husbands for a few weeks. And I thought, well, you know, to be fair, I got to hammer the women a little bit, right? Marty's going, "No, you don't." and so I thought, okay, I'm going to preach on women, right? And so, virtuous woman, I'm going to get that, and that's going to be part of it. And so I got a virtuous woman who can find. And the Holy Spirit inside of me, just the thought came up to me, start at the beginning. Well, okay, I guess. So I went back and I read verse 1. It threw everything into a completely different point of view. Again, Donnie was talking about the mountain from this view. You know, the Mount Rainier from Auburn and the Auburn Valley is one view. But if you're in Yakima, it's a completely different view, right? Or wherever you're from, if you're... But we'll watch this. The words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. Now, I believe she taught this to him when he was small, but as he was raised, she reinforced it and reminded him. This is so good. And just a side note, you remember, and you've all heard this, that the mother comes to the father and says, "It's time for you to have the talk with your son." That's stupid. Why? I'm supposed to teach my son about women? I know a little bit, but I know nothing. Right? But a woman knows a woman. So I think mothers would do a service to their children to have a talk with their sons about women, what women feel, what they're thinking, how they're thinking. Because I'm not that smart. I'm not that deep. Right? I don't think like a woman. All right, side note. But listen to this now. This is a mother talking to her son about who he is. "What, my son, and the son of my womb, and what, son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings." Son, this is the way that you need to act. Son, this is the way you need to be around women. This is the way that you need to compose yourself, especially with the position of who you are.
Right?
Mothers. It's not for kings, O Lemuel. It's not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicating drink, lest they do drink and forget the law and pervert the justice of the afflicted. Give strong drink to him who is perishing, and wine to those who are of a bitter heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. Open your mouth for the speechless in the cause of all who appointed to die. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. See, a mother, when they're young, needs to put into the children how they're supposed to act from a righteous standpoint. And then they need to enforce that all the days. And then when they... You see, I think God wants to use mothers to humble boys. That's not how I taught you. That's not how you're supposed to act. That's not how you're... You know. Why? Because the mother is the one that conceived. The mother is the one who births. The mother is the one who protects. The mother is the one who releases. Right? So your job is never done. My children are out of the home. Like, I just loved Donnie this morning. He's this close to leaving. And I was thinking, he'll leave, but he'll be back. So don't worry. I mean, you know, don't worry. But the reality is, you still have a place in your kids' life, no matter how old they are. I don't care if you're 90 and they're 70, right? You still have a place in their life. Mothers are so important. Hallelujah. If you're a mother, God bless you. Right? Continue to pray for your kids. You're their number one intercessor. Continue to plead the blood over your children, for you're the number one protector. Begin to pray over the plan of God in their lives, because you're the number one releaser. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you and praise you and honor you today. God, I don't know that I've ever really done this in talking with you, but I want to thank you for my mother. She's in heaven, she's with you, but Lord, I thank you for giving her to me and me to her. Thank you for the years of protecting and taking care of and nurturing and guiding, and she blessed me so much, and she was such a gift to me. Thank you, Lord, for her. I thank you for the wife of my children, Lord, and the gift that she's been to me, and to my daughter, who's the mother of my grandchildren, and what a tremendous gift and mother she is. I thank you, Lord, for all the mothers, and I thank you for every mother that's sitting in the room, and I thank you for touching them. I thank you for blessing them. And God, I'm asking you today to pour a special blessing upon them in Jesus' name. In a minute, we're going to have the worship team come up, Lord. And I just ask you to bless every one of them for the lives that they've given for you and for their kids and others. Lord, we just bless your name. We thank you. We honor you. And Lord, right now, if there's anything that we've done in a disparaging manner, or even if our mothers have hurt us and they haven't been really great moms to speak of, we can honor them, Lord, anyway. So we forgive them for not being perfect, because we're not, and then we forgive them because you've forgiven us, but we also, Lord, release them from everything back into your care in Jesus' name. Lord, we just thank you again for being with us today. If you're here online, thank you for joining us. God bless you. Have a great Mother's Day to all of those who are watching. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Come on, we're going to worship Him with a song. If you need prayer for anything, if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, today's the day. If you walked away from God and need to come back, today's your day. If you need to be filled with the Spirit so that you can pray in the Spirit, that can happen right now, right here. If you need healing in your body, He's still the same. The blood of Jesus, His stripes were healed in Jesus' name. He'll fill you. He'll deliver you. He'll heal you. He'll provide for you. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. In Jesus' name. Come on, let's worship Him together.